Praise and thanks be to the Lord for His grace and for this hour that we may have again. And I think we were already richly blessed by the word that we heard in the word of introduction. We know that His own, whom He loved, He revealed Himself to them, whether it was in the Old Covenant or whether it's in the New Covenant. To His own He reveals Himself to this very day. That is a fact. He reveals Himself to His own. It doesn't matter in what way. It doesn't have to be a certain way that we might think or how we mean it. But He reveals Himself the way He wants to reveal Himself. He does what He wants, and that is wonderful. We do not determine, but He determines. He determined that they had to come up. And I think it was not only that He ate with them, but I think He put other food before them as well. He told them His word, His will. He wanted to tell them and give them what was necessary for them, for their whole life, for eternal life. We know, if you read on, the Lord then said to Moses, "Come up and receive this." Yes, we know, there were the tablets of the law, there were the commandments, all that He prepared for His people. Brothers and sisters, all that gives us joy. Of course, everyone may not have understood. So it is in our days. It was like that in the days of the Lord. He came, but not all understood. Not all knew. Not all ate and drank with Him. For some He was an offense. For others He was a blessing. Yes, for those who were chosen, they recognized Him. And they were glad, their hearts burned, they rejoiced, they exulted, they knew someone was there, someone had come to bring them salvation, redemption, deliverance. Yes, what they had been waiting for a long time. Yes, the one prophesied about by the prophets. He has appeared to us. So the tidings went among them, and they were glad, and were so thankful that it happened in their days. Brothers and sisters, I would like to say that we too can only be thankful that this news has come to us so powerfully in our days. We can be so thankful that the revelations had been revealed in our days. We can be thankful that the seals have been broken in our days. Yes, they are revealed and we may behold them. Many have longed, perhaps, to see and hear all this. They thought probably, what may this or that mean? And they didn't know what it was. But His people, His elect, they know and they have understood what it is and they understand. Brothers and sisters, the others may read it and not understand it. They walk away from it and they make fools of themselves. And they don't know what they are doing. They sin up to their ears and they don't even know it. They think they can do and say what they want, but His chosen ones, they are full of rejoicing, of thanksgiving, of praise, because they know who has spoken, because they know what has been revealed. Brothers and sisters, I don't know, but my heart overflows with praise and thanksgiving to our God, who has done such great things. And I think when we look at all the sermons and all that, maybe sometimes it's hard. Maybe sometimes it's so sharp, but I think it can't be sharp enough. To the elect, it's just something salutary. When something comes, where we are still pruned, where we are still rebuked, we no longer get angry about it, but we say, "Oh God, You have spoken. This is wonderful that we know a little more, that we know more what we have to do. For Your plan is a plan of salvation." Yes, He wants only the best with His own. And so it is also written in the Word of God, that every chastising, every admonition, everything shall be for our good. For this is how He deals with His people, with His children. Yes, we find it written. We can read it. It's written in Hebrews, I believe. Hebrews 12, probably. Yes, it's written there. We can read it. And I think we have become children of God. And because we have become children of God, That's why he deals with us as he does with children. Yes, what do parents want? What does a father want? What does a mother want with her children? They only want the best that will become of them. Oh, what don't they do for their children? They do the best. Brothers and sisters, it is the same with our Heavenly Father. It is the same with our Lord. He wants the best for His own, and therefore He speaks to us earnestly and admonishes us and rebukes us. Yes, and that is why we know and have a reverence for Him and give Him the honor alone, because we know that the honor is due to no one else but Him alone. Brothers and sisters, if we are true children, then we can rejoice when such sermons as last night, when they still have something to say to us, when we may still recognize ourselves in them and say, "Oh God, I am not yet as I should be, but You forgive me, I will submit." You know, then there is a deep bowing. And then, beloved, salvation and peace comes upon us. And then we are blessed anew and strengthened anew. And then we may rejoice and exult to our God. Brothers and sisters, I think God has made us such people. If it were not so, we would not come here. Then we would say, what is the point of these speeches? We can't listen to them any longer. We can't stand them. But no, I think our hearts are changed. We can only say, "Oh God, speak more powerfully to us." Yes, brothers and sisters, then we hold nothing back. No, but we proclaim the whole counsel as He left it. Of course, we know He didn't deal that timidly with His disciples. Even with Peter, He had good suggestions and all that. But suddenly the Lord had to say to him, "Satan, get thee behind me." It may have been very strong for Peter at that moment. But he had to realize who was talking to him. It was not a man. It was God in the man. Through him, through Jesus Christ. And he was able to bow. He had the grace, and he knew who was talking to him. And so do we, even if it sometimes comes strong, whether it hits me or whom it may hit among us. It has to hit all of us. And it's good when it hits us, brothers and sisters. Yes, it's good. You know, then we get rid of everything. Then we become so light. We become so joyful. Then we can begin to breathe anew and can give glory to God. Thanks be to the Lord also for these words. Amen. I am so glad, Lord, that I am Yours. I may be Your own by grace. You make me free from sin and pure. I am so glad, Lord, that I am Yours. Thou givest me the fullness of blessing. O Lord, my Savior, I thank You. We will not let Him go. And when He strikes us, He means well. His hand is not against us, but for us. When we chastise our children and move our hand in doing so, it is not to do them evil, but to do them good. At the moment, the Holy Scripture says, chastening does not seem pleasant to us. But then, when we have proved ourselves, it produces a peaceful fruit of righteousness. Our God does not stretch out His hand against us, but lets it rule over us for blessing and salvation. If He lets it descend upon us, then it's probably David who said, thy hand was heavy upon me, that my sap was almost dried up within me by my daily weeping. But then, after the grace of God came upon him, and he confessed his sin and guilt, the hand of the Lord subsided, and he was able to sing psalms again in the house of God, praising and glorifying the Lord. We will all experience times when the hand of the Lord comes heavily upon us, and that is for salvation and blessing. Not because God is against us, because he is for us, because he means well with us. We have already heard two such glorious words from the Holy Scripture. I could have continued to sit and listen to what was read and said. God's elect had the privilege of being in the presence of the Lord. They beheld his glory. They ate and drank with him. Thanks be to God that this has not yet changed. It is still the case today. The elect of God can go up with the Lord to the Mount of Transfiguration. They behold his glory. They see his face shines as when the sun shines with all its power. And suddenly they see no one but Jesus alone. That has not changed yet. That is still the case. As long as God's elect will be on earth, he will reveal himself to them. He will talk to them. He will feed them. He will water them. He will bless them. And never will he stretch out his hand against them. Let no one think when something happens to him that is unpleasant, that God has stretched out his hand against him. The Lord's hands were stretched out on the cross. They were not pointing on us, but were outstretched to receive us. And we have gone through the word here. When the Lord Jesus went to heaven, he lifted up his hands over his elect and blessed them. He did not accuse them. He did not reproach them. That all happened before. With that moment, he raised his hands to bless. Not accused. No, for it is written, who will accuse the elect of God? Who will accuse them? Christ is here who has justified them. Brothers and sisters, it is a fact before Almighty God that we are translated into heavenly places in these days, and that we may feast on the hidden manna that has been made accessible and revealed only to the elect in the Holy of Holies, and we may draw near to him who has chosen us. It was not the 70 who said, we will go up now. God called them up. What about us today? Why are we here? Because we wanted to. We didn't want. God wanted it. And that's why we're here, to hear the words of God. And we find he has not stretched out his hand against us. He didn't point his finger at us. He had pointed to Calvary and called out to us, I have redeemed you and called you by your name. You are mine. All your iniquity and all your sin is atoned for. All is forgiven. You are washed in the blood of the Lamb. whiter than the snow. We sing that in a song, but when we visualize it, what it means to be pure and holy before God through the blood of the Lamb. It says here, and they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet as it were a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also they saw God, and did eat and drink. What a privilege! We are allowed to behold God in all his revelations at this time. We know the first verse of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. We are allowed to behold him transfigured before our eyes. And the word from the New Testament, he has revealed himself to his chosen witnesses. He ate and drank with them. He commissioned them to go and proclaim what he had told them. All this is written not only so that we may know what once was, but that we may know with God there is no change. He commissions his servants at all times according to his will to proclaim his word. But before that happens, he reveals himself to them. He lets them see his glory and instructs them to go and proclaim his word and his will. That has not changed yet either, and it will not change. God remains God, and all his ways with his people are holy and just, and he will deal with all the elect equally. He will not allow the elect to behold his glory on one hand, to eat and drink with him, and on the other hand, he will let them go empty-handed. This does not work with God. All the elect have had access to God and to his revelations at all times. They have believed him and respected what he has done by grace. When we consider this, our hearts rejoice and exult. Who are we as human beings? We are nothing, neither before men nor before God. But grace has been granted to us so that we can believe him. And why can we? Because he has put it in our hearts. Whether it was an Abraham, whether it was a Moses, whoever it was, they were ordinary people, but God put faith and trust in their hearts. And the same is true for us. We are found in fashion as a man, in every way, but one thing makes the difference. We are pardoned by God. We believe his word. We are allowed to sit with him and eat and drink with him. The word of Saturday evening still does not let me go. Perhaps we could read the verse from Hebrews chapter 3 about all this, namely verse 5. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. To me, the last part is very important. To bear witness to what was to be proclaimed as revelation. Moses was not only commissioned to coordinate certain things, But in all that was coordinated, there had to be a sum, namely the revelation of the divine will through what was done. Just take all the sacrifices, whether it was the burnt offering, the meal offering, the sin offering, whatever was ordered. One was the outward form that could be seen with eyes, that which was built up with hands, according to what God had said. But the other was the sum of it, the summary, namely the divine revelation, which in what was already in the Old Testament, in the shadow images of reality, had meaning for the New Testament and what was to be proclaimed. Now, when we read in the New Testament that he was faithful in the house of God and that he was to bear witness to what was to be proclaimed as revelation, we know that even in the days of Jesus, there was enough worship among the people of Israel, among the Jews, but they lacked the revelation of what they were doing, for every sacrifice already spoke of the coming Messiah. Everything that was ordained in the Old Testament, not only the golden lampstand that spoke of the church, whether we read of the table with the showbread, whether we read of the sanctuary, of the Holy of Holies, of the washings, of all what we may read, of the Ark of the Covenant, of the Word of God that was put therein, revelation was hidden everywhere, and only there, where God pulls away the veil, only there can be made known and also proclaimed what has been as revelation in the whole thing. What use was the entire composition of the divine service in its variety and diversity to the people of Israel? What use was it to them if God could not by prophetic revelation put the sum of the whole upon the lampstand? We know that when they celebrated the Passover, no leaven was to be used, and the lamb they slaughtered, no bone was to be broken. You know all these scriptures. Everywhere, a part of the plan of salvation was already foreshadowed. But they had the law. They had the ordinances. But Moses was to bear witness to what was later to be proclaimed as revelation. In other words, we do not need to slaughter a Passover lamb today. We are looking at the revelation of that, namely the Passover lamb that was slain. And we could go through all those Old Testament ordinances. And we would not be proclaiming the ordinances, but the revelation of God that was embodied in all these ordinances. Because that's the point, to summarize what has been as revelation in such a thing, not the thing itself. We still find people today, they invoke the Sabbath and do this and that and say, yes, God said so. It is not just a matter of what God has said, that we apply it outwardly. It is a matter of the revelation that is hidden in the thing that God has ordained. And only the Spirit of God can reveal it to those who are pardoned. There are people today, they talk about the seven church age messages. But the question is not that we are talking about seven messages. The question is, what is contained as divine revelation in these seven church age messages? Any man can say, I'm speaking today about the first church age message. And when he has finished, he has probably read what is written. But unless the Holy Spirit reveals, he brings together, he unveils, and there comes a revelation, as with the breastplate, that light and perfections is revealed in the house of God, so that it doesn't remain dark. So it is of no use to have God's word only the outward form and say, yes, here it is written in the church message so and so. God sent one of his servants in our time and has illuminated every church age message and has given divine revelation that has now been proclaimed. Thanks be to God for that. We have been guessing long enough through these almost 2,000 years. People have been making up their own minds, but God sent his prophet, not only to repeat, but we can start now with Matthew 28. There are enough people who can repeat the text of Matthew 28, but it is not about repetition. It is about revelation. It is about what is hidden in the Word and can only be revealed by the Spirit of God. And who are they who behold the revelation of God? The elect. They go up with him on the holy mount and they see everything. They are quite close to heaven and they behold the glory of God. And they don't just say the words. They see the revelation. They see that which was to be proclaimed as revelation. It is the same with Genesis 3. We all read only of a garden, of trees, of the tree of knowledge. But there was something hidden in all this. And it is of no use to any man if he only speaks about it and refers to what is written there without the light from above breaking through the clouds to him. And that he proclaims the sum of it all and says, this is the revelation of the living God upon this Bible verse. Otherwise, we will all preach about it without actually bringing help to God's people. Because where there is no revelation, the people go astray or the people become licentious, depending on the translation. That's how it says in Proverbs. Anyone can repeat what is written in Genesis 3, but the revelation, Moses was a prophet of God. He did not just decree things, he was to bear witness to what was to be proclaimed as a summary, as the sum of all, as a revelation to the people of God. Thanks be to the Lord for his prophets. They didn't just say, Moses said, but they were able to proclaim from God the revelation that he had given them by grace. This word just struck me when I read that, like the heavens opened up, and I think that's how it starts, from Genesis to Revelation. Everything is revelation, and to whom God does not reveal it, though we will have the text, and we could classify everything, like the Israelites, according to the word of God, offer all the sacrifices, fulfill all the vows, do everything as it is written. Unless we have the revelation, we are in the Holy of Holies, we behold God, we eat and drink with him. Otherwise, everything is a dead form. Any sacrifice, worship, everything can be a dead form. Unless the living revelation of the living God is proclaimed among the people of God, only then is there life and bliss. Only then we can eat and drink. If we only read the word of God without being revealed by the Holy Spirit, then we may talk of food as long as we like. The food is not there. The food for the elect is not on the table until the Holy Spirit reveals that which is hidden and opens the eyes to his own and says, there you have it. Hallelujah. And we rejoice in our God, knowing that He has done such things by His grace in this time. God's elect, behold Him, they ate and drank with their God and Lord. The same is true down to this time. We could give many examples from the Old and New Testament. Everything is based on revelation. We can spin around as we want. And where is revelation? In the presence of God. And in the presence of God, it's no longer us talking, it's God talking. God spoke to them, and they saw His glory, and He revealed Himself to them there. The same is true of the New Testament church. It is all revelation from beginning to end. Who can understand the Godhead unless God has revealed it to him? Otherwise, we would say, here it is written thus, and there it is written otherwise. And we think, what is to become now? But then we see heaven open, and the light of God's revelation illuminates the word on all sides. And we don't just read a dead letter. We could almost close our eyes and see the living revelation of the living God. Many have the letter. He has killed them. But the elect have the life. They have the access to these divine things. They not only see the thing itself, but they have grasped the sum of the thing through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And if we think of the seven seals, what is the use of a man talking about the seven seals if the light of divine revelation does not come down, and if divine revelation does not make known what the meaning of a seal is, then we lose ourselves in the infinite and miss the mark. But the moment it pleased the Lord to reveal His word and to make known the mysteries, it was done. And what was it? Not human knowledge. Not an I mean, I think. No, it was divine revelation. The same pillar of fire, the same God who revealed Himself in His glory from the beginning, the same God spoke and revealed in this time every single seal. Today, we do not only read what the content of a seal is. Today, we know about the summary, about the revelation that was to be proclaimed to the people of God. Moses, as a prophet of God, faithful in the house of God, and he was to be a witness, namely of what was later to be proclaimed as revelation. All true servants of God, down to the last prophet, have borne witness to what God has revealed and have proclaimed it among the people of God. We have heard it. Our hearts rejoice. Even though we are sometimes deeply stricken and saddened, when we think of these things, we could almost leave our bodies and go up into the glory of God. That is how much the living revelation of the living God means to us in this time. And I tell you the truth, it is high time that the revelation overwhelms us and that something happens in us, that we are carried away, that we are like those on the Holy Mount. They saw God. You can imagine what was going on in them. No one had to say to them, now let us pray. No one had to say to them, who wants to praise and glorify the Lord now? Brothers and sisters, in the presence of God, even the heavenly host, all we hear is holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and all the earth is full of His glory. If we are here in the presence of God, then there is a table prepared before us. Then we are not just reading the words as a letter. Then we have part in the living revelation of the living God. And God had His witnesses at all times. He did not send them as preachers who then preach a nice sermon about something, but as witnesses who were to bear witness to what was to be proclaimed as revelation. Do not forget, revelation is hidden in all the words of the Holy Scriptures. Only when God makes it known does it become manifest. Christ is the revelation of God in the flesh. Only to whom he reveals it is this revelation shown. All others pass it by, and they don't see it. We may be pardoned by God at this time, and know, not only do we read the words of the Holy Scriptures, it has pleased the Lord by prophetic revelation to set the meaning of his word upon the lampstand and to show it to his people. And he calls us together from east and west, from everywhere, and wants to say to us, sit down here at my table, where I set the table, where I reveal, where I speak, where you can behold my glory. And that is what this time is all about. We suddenly see then nobody but Jesus alone, because he is the whole revelation of Almighty God, from beginning to end. And all that is connected with him and his church, that comes to a close in these days. And Brother Rus has already said, how many have waited to see it and hear it, but it came not in their time. When the time was fulfilled, God sent his servant to bear witness to what was to be proclaimed as a revelation. To the prophet in the Old Testament he said, seal up the words of the prophecy of this book until the end time. But the end time is here. The seal has been broken. It has been proclaimed as a living revelation to the people of God. And who are they? The elect. And whoever still doubts the election, let him be ashamed. Almighty God chose us before the foundation of the world, and he does not joke with us. He is serious. He doesn't reveal the things to us because we are not chosen, but because we are chosen, and he prepares his table before us in the presence of our enemies. They all are not pleased with us. But what does it matter what people say, as the song goes? If we have known the riches of the divine grace and glory in Jesus Christ, if we are with him on the holy mount, hearing him, seeing him, that is all we need. His word we have heard in this time. Not only that his word has been preached, the summary of the divine thoughts has been proclaimed as a revelation among the people of God, to the praise and glory of his name, and for the blessing of his people. May he be with us and make us thankful and faithful. Amen. Let us rise and pray. Heavenly Father, together we ask now that you would preserve your blessings upon us, and that we would abide in your presence, O God. We cannot sum up the sum of your thoughts, but we rejoice that you send your servants at all times, who not only proclaimed the letter of the word, but communicated the revelation of God to your people, even to our time. You revealed yourself anew in the midst of your elect. They have seen your glory, heard your voice, eaten your manna, and drank from the rock. Oh, we praise you, and we worship you. Faithful God, be now with us all, and guide us in your peace. We ask this of you, and thank you again for this weekend, for the preachings of your servant, Lord, place the full responsibility on all of us, which we cannot escape, O God. Grant that we may say yes to you and your word in all things, even when it hits us so hard that we almost pine away. But you will lift us up, strengthen us anew, and make us strong, O God, and bring us forward. We praise your name and worship you. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah, be praised. The Lord has blessed us.